I want to read some verses in 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter, 1 Thessalonians. And no doubt as you read these verses, you can see how dear and precious that these people were to this great man, the Apostle Paul, and the place that he had in his heart for them, and how that comes through and how he addresses them. First chapter of 1 Thessalonians. I, Paul, and Silvanus, and Timothy, and the church of Thessalonica, which is in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to God word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from wrath to come. What a precious chapter that is. What a challenging chapter. He says, "For from you sounded out the word of God, even to the extent that we don't need to preach here. The word has been preached through your living and through your example. It has sounded out." Isn't that lovely? And that's our privilege, to do that here in the land we live in today. And they had their trials too. You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy. Affliction and joy going together. So we thank God for his word and trust that as we have it in church and have it in our homes, that'll continue to comfort us and guide us, instruct us in the way that we should go. If you were to ask me this evening, have you a title for what you're going to say? I'm not good at titles, but If I just said this to you, how do you know that I'm a Christian? Would that be a sufficient title? How do I know that I'm a Christian? If somebody stopped you down the street tomorrow and said, you go to a church up there, a Bible preaching church, yes, and you people up there, you profess, many of you profess to be saved. They profess to be born again Christians. How do you know that you are a born again Christian? Just tell me that. That man or woman might say to you. So you would need to have an answer for them. You'd need to be able to state your case. As the scripture says, you need to be ready to give a reason for the hope that's in you. And it's good to ask ourselves these questions, even ourselves. How do I know that I am a Christian? How do I know that I am born again? You know, there are a lot of people say you can't know. And there's a lot of people who are Christians and who would say, well, I hope so. And these can be people who you can see the grace of God in them and you know that they're Christians. But they'll never go as far as to say, yes, I know I'm born again. I know I say that humbly before God. I know I'm saved. I know I'm his. So we're not here to condemn those who maybe can't just come out with it as clear as that. But we're also to remind ourselves that we have got so much in the Bible that encourages us to have that boldness of confession. Not a boldness of the flesh, but the boldness of the Spirit. The Apostle Paul was very, he was very much into the knowing the Lord. His great cry was years after he was converted, that I may know him, he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. You know, it's such a healthy state of a professing Christian to be in when they have that heart cry within them to get to know God more and more. Get to know him, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. The Bible reminds us that they that know their God will be strong and do exploits. They that know their God, we're privileged that we're in a land where we hear about God, where we read about God, where we hear the Bible read about the Lord. And so on. But we can have all that and still not know the Lord. Not know him. It's a long time ago since the good man Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth away on the other side of Calvary. I know, he says, that my Redeemer liveth and that he stand on the earth at the latter day. He believed in the return of Christ even then. He says he'll stand on the earth at the latter day and my eyes will see him. What a note of confidence from the dear man who went through the mill, we might say, My Redeemer liveth, he says. My Redeemer liveth. And in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, the scripture reminds us there, the Lord speaking to those who had come out of Judaism and had committed themselves to God and to Jesus. He says, these things are written that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And that's the beautiful thing about having the Bible and being able to read the Bible and have the Bible in our own language. These things are written that ye may know that ye have eternal life. It's great that a young fella, a young girl, even a child can come to know Jesus as their friend and Savior. It's precious. How do I know I'm a Christian? Well, one way you know that you're a Christian, if you go back to John's Gospel chapter 10, where he says there, I know my sheep, and they're known to me. And he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they'll not listen to the voice of another. My sheep hear my voice. You know, it's wonderful when God can get us to the place where we sit in church or where we sit at home with the Bible or just maybe where we're going about our work or whatever. You know, if we can sense the voice of God, my sheep hear my voice. That is, we come to church and maybe there's been a lot on our mind through the week, and there's a lot maybe that's going to pile upon our minds for the week that's before us, and maybe there's troubles and there's trials and there's questions unanswered and so on and so forth, that as I sit in the house of God, I can hear the voice of the Lord through the spirit of the service, the prayer and the word speaking to me. And he says, a stranger's voice will they not follow, for they know not, or they don't want to, and they won't recognize or take seriously the voice of a stranger, some other voice. There can be a whole lot of voices shouting at us. But my sheep hear my voice. And if you're saved tonight, if you're a Christian, committed to the Lord, you have heard the voice of Jesus. And it became clear to you that You needed Christ. You needed to be saved. You needed to come to Christ. The old song says, I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down your weary head, lay down that head upon my breast. Heard his voice. If you are a Christian tonight, you will have a desire to read the Word of God. And you might not read as much of it as maybe you feel at times that you should read. And maybe you mightn't read as much of it tomorrow as you may do the next day or whatever it may be. But you have got a desire in your heart to read the Bible and to hear what the Bible is saying to you. You want the Bible to talk to you. And there's a whole lot of areas of the Bible you're going to find difficult. And there's areas of the Bible that I find difficult. And there's areas of the Bible that I have never understood or will never understand while I'm in this body. But there's enough of it revealed to me Guide me on the path of righteousness. In the Psalm 1, remember when he speaks about that man should be like a tree planted by the rivers of... What does it say in that Psalm? It says, his delight is in the word of God, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Anybody who's going to meditate on the word, or, you know, read the word and pray that the word will speak to them, and so in an ongoing way, you know, there's spiritual life there that is precious. You know, I remember the night I was converted. I just can't give you the date at the moment, but I remember that night. You see, from I started to go to that, it's a long way from where we lived to church, so we didn't get to church very often, for there was no motor car. And there was once at a stage when we were at a certain age, we didn't even have bicycles. So you walked a lot. And in my young days, I ran a lot. I enjoyed running. I never remember when I was a cub. If I had anywhere to go on my own, I never walked. I always ran. you never had time to walk. I remember going to that mission hall where these big texts of scripture were on the wall, such as, you must be born again. Isaiah 53, he was wounded for our transgression, grieved for our iniquities. John 6:37, him that cometh to me I know why he's cast out. And all these big texts of scripture on the wall. And they were there from the first time I went into that hall. And I had been going in and out of that hall for maybe 3 years or so, because we went to a Sunday school in it, and we went to services in it, and so on. And then there came a 6-week mission to that hall. And there were 7 of us in the family, my father and mother. And in most nights when the mission was on, and the mission was on for 6 weeks, people wouldn't have time to go to a mission now for 6 weeks every night. So, you know that. That's a culture then. It's different. It's a world of change. But that's how it was. And a big percent of the people in the whole country around came, farmers and all, down tools, none to the mission. And on the closing night of that mission, I knelt on the bare wooden boards of that floor and took Christ to be my friend and Savior. Gone on for 69 years ago. My point coming back to you is, that night when I got up from my knees after trusting Jesus as my friend and Savior, confessing my sins, I was only a young boy, but I wasn't too young to die. And I wasn't too young to be eternally lost. But the Bible reminded me that the gift of God is eternal life. And that night, from the heart of God to Colm O'Dara's heart, came the gift of salvation. And you know, these big texts of scripture on the wall, they were alive to me. I never forget it. They were just different. Why? was I had got to know the God who had spoken them. It's a wonderful thing about it. And this is what the Bible is to the hungry heart. It's a book that will speak to the hunger of the heart. Not just the hearing and the intellectual understanding, but that cry that comes from within, that must be fed. It's the immortal soul. Jesus says, this is the manna that comes down from above. How do I know that I'm a Christian? Because I desire the word, and I want to read the word, and I want to obey the word. Friends, another way I know I'm a Christian, because I want to pray. I want to pray. People might not hear me praying. They might not hear me praying in the prayer meeting. They might not hear me praying in church. They might not hear me praying anywhere. But God will hear me. And the spirit of prayer will be with me if I'm a Christian. And I will have that communication with my Lord. I'll talk to him. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. I will cast myself upon him in prayer. And I will tell him everything that I desire to tell him. And I can tell him everything that concerns me, that concerns others. And I can tell him that even that maybe others wouldn't understand if I told them what I was thinking. It's precious. Prayer. Casting yourself upon the Lord. Spirit of prayer. If I'm a Christian, I want to pray. I want to pray. Friends, I was saved through this, through the word and through the spirit and through the blood and also through prayer. Because that very night that I was saved, I prayed. And I prayed the sinner's prayer. And you people, Bible-believing people, you know what prayer is? Some of you have dear ones and loved ones in the glory land. And until your dying day and your dying breath, you'll remember their prayers. And you'll remember how they prayed for you. And we thank God for the privilege of talking to our Heavenly Father, who's always there. He says there's nothing, there's no height nor depth, there's nothing in this world, there's nothing. And there's nothing can enter this body of mine or that body of yours that can ever take Jesus from you. And the dreadful scourge of cancer is so evident in this land and wherever we go. It's good to know that even when a body is afflicted by cancer, that still that cancer cannot drive Jesus from that body. Christ in you, a hope of glory. And nothing can separate from us. Friends, if I am a Christian, I'll want to see others saved. If I'm a Christian, friends, if I'm a Christian, I want to see people saved. I wasn't that terrible, a long converted when I I wanted to see people saved. And I remember standing, preaching in the open air meeting in the town of Strabane back about 1961, as before many of you were born. Preaching on the streets of Strabane, and after the at that when they came out from the second sitting of the picture house, the streets were so thronged with people. You could hardly get through. And we had to stand there, and there we preached to the people passing through. Why? I wanted to see them saved. If you're a Christian and your heart is right with God and you seek to walk with God, you want to see people saved. And the minister who's in his pulpit, regardless of what denomination he belongs to, if his heart's right with God, he's not content with just numbers and money and membership. He wants to see people saved. That's what it's about. Along with many other things that concern a congregation. What did Paul say back in Romans 10? My heart's desire and prayer to God is for Israel that they might be saved. That they might be saved. Oh, to see men and women saved. Saved from sin. May we pray. May we live, may we see it, Lord, may we see it. May we see a move of God in the land that'll turn many to righteousness, to Christ. If you're a Christian, my dear, if you are saved, you will want to know the will of God. The will of God. And that's can be a very difficult thing to know at times. As a man said to me, look, Carl, will you not come back again for some more meetings? We believe that the Spirit of God is moving and we'd like to come back again and start again. And I said to my brother, I haven't got the assurance to return. He says, would you want to see it written in red letters in the sky? Well, if I had seen it written in red letters in the sky, that would have made it easy. But it's not as easy as that. But listen, dear. We should be interested in the will of God. Jesus was interested in the will of his Father when he prayed in Gethsemane, not my will, but thine be done. The Apostle Paul was only a few hours converted when he said, Lord, what will you want me to do? The will of God is precious. And I remember struggling with that too when I was on a farm, and yet I felt that this is not for me. That, Lord, there's another voice talking to me. There's a call. Go ye and preach the gospel. That was with me every day for days and weeks and months. The will of God. And I'm glad I said yes to that will. Very important. The Bible challenges there in John's epistle that if you ask anything according to his will, he hears us. When you ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if you know that he hears you, you know you have the petition for which you brought to him. And this again, friends, It's so necessary that we keep close to God, that we know the Lord, that with His help we walk the path of righteousness, so that we're praying, when we're praying in the will of God. Because that is the only grounds on which He has promised to answer our prayers. In the will of God. How do I know I'm a Christian? Well, if we go then to Romans chapter 8 and verse 16, the Lord says the Holy Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are the children of God. And that's the true witness. And if you know the Lord tonight, you have got that witness. That doesn't mean to say that the devil will do his utmost to bring doubts to you, to bring fears to you, to tell you you're not a Christian, that you were never saved, that there's no heaven for you. The devil, he's a liar, liar, liar from the beginning. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So we want to take him at his word, and we want to rest in that. And we want in His mercy and goodness and care and compassion to us, unworthy though we may be, that witness will be with us and remain with us in the good times and in the bad times. As a wee 12-year-old girl said to her father, who was involved in business, building construction, things weren't going well. The wee girl said to her daddy, "Daddy, just remember this, that the Lord will be with you in the bad times as well as the good times." So He will. We're in His care. If you're not saved tonight, if you're not saved, you don't know Jesus, then seek Him. Seek Him. No need to be looking for any flashing lights from the sky or any lightning or anything like that. When we realize we're sinners and we're lost, and Jesus says, "Come unto me and I will give you rest. Come." The verse was precious to me that night. "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." And if He doesn't cast us out, what does He do? He takes us in. Hallelujah. And not only takes us in, but He'll keep us in. And one day, He'll bring us in to the Father's house. Amen.